Aloha! Welcome everybody to the Success Tsunami Summit. I am your host, Ronnie Tsunami. Right now, step five, generating sales. We are with Liana Ebenkaiser, selling easily and without stress. Liana is an international presentations coach, sales mentor, speaker, and founder of the Easy Influence Academy. She is passionately committed to empowering expertpreneurs to achieve trust, influence, and persuasiveness in their interactions with others. Liana believes that successful people share one main quality: being able to sell easily without losing themselves. She transformed her Dutch practice into a global company in less than 6 months by walking her talk, speaking, and selling from her heart. And with more than 10 years of working with numerous amazing achievers worldwide, she delivers fast-track mentoring that puts your clients on the pedestals they deserve. So tell me a little more about your story and how you got involved in first as an entrepreneur, but also in coaching.
Well, my fascination on coaching experts on influence and trust and persuasiveness in how they actually show up and open their mouth, that's how I call it. It all started off in my corporate life, and I've worked with big companies for 14 years in different roles and at all corporate levels, but I never really felt like being a part of that corporate family. And because I often ran into integrity issues and hidden agendas. So under that surface, talking about fear, I grew this overall fear to really show my real self, because it just didn't feel safe or wise to show myself. And I was really good at what I was doing, but I could not really sell myself. So I felt like that hidden secret and not really able to fulfill my potential. And there was one day, it was actually in 1998, I had to do a very important presentation in front of an international audience of 22 men, before which I made a fool of myself 2 years earlier because I already was so fearful. So on that particular day, I was really nervous, like really not knowing what would happen. But it was exactly there and then that I decided to really stop what I had been doing all those years. Really, I stopped sustaining that image of a strong and professional woman, and I just surrendered. Like, I stood up, I went to the front and said to myself, "You lions, eat me." And for the first time in my life, I allowed myself to go into this, not knowing what would happen. And that was key, like taking the risk of not knowing. So I stood up, went to the front, I let my walls down, and I had my best 5-minute speech ever. And more important, 100% buy-in for a very complex and risky idea in 5 minutes. So I wasn't not only completely myself, but I also influenced everyone in that room. So there I was, not working hard for that safety. That's key, not working hard for your safety. And then things can open up. And that is really where my fascination for influence and selling, actually selling in a transparent way, comes from. Because I just want to know, what works, why it works, and how can I do this with integrity. So that's what I discovered looking back, at what went on in that room, what happened back then in 1998, because at that moment I didn't really realize what was happening. But now I can really pinpoint what happened, and actually I took the good things out of there and put it in my system of how to do a sales conversation, and that's very open and transparent, and that's what makes it so easy for us coaches and consultants to have this conversation and to actually sell big time too.
What are some of those key elements then of selling in your way and the transparency?
So a key element is that I'm transparent about everything, especially it's so important how you start off a sales call, because most of us, when we start a sales conversation, we think we will, you know, we might perhaps get a deal. But the person on the other side of the line or on the other side of the table thinks, oh, I'm going to get information. So there's a disconnect already from the start. So in order to establish that relaxed relationship, the first thing you need to connect, that at least that's how I work, is, okay, let's first put the agenda on the table. And I do that by two things. I express what my intentions are at the beginning of a sales conversation. And that could be something like, well, my intention for us is to find out, to explore, you know, what you need, what your problems are, and if and how I can help you exactly. Is that okay? I ask permission for every step. So it's about intentions. But then I go a little bit further. I also tell my prospective client exactly what I will be doing in the sales conversation. So I'm actually making predictable for my prospective client what will happen. And that's such a relief for a prospective client, because usually they think, oh, I will be sold something, you know? So I explain every step along the way what will be happening. I'm going to ask you some questions, and some questions will even be about numbers, because we have to talk about numbers, because that will really, you know, make clear, bring to the surface where you are hanging out and how I can help you best. It's just an example, but that is how I work. So everything is so transparent and clear from the start that this prospective client, you know, gives everything, tells me everything, gives every concern or objection, which is fine too. But we at least have an open and relaxed discussion about everything, and that is the best way to sell, in my opinion. It is a process, though. You need to take that prospective client through some steps, because there's always some fear involved with a prospective client, which is natural and normal. So you need to take the lead somewhere and you know, have a decent process in place. But with an open dialogue, it's so easy. It's so easy that, you know, clients that I have that never sold packages before, they easily convert. They get conversion rates up to 70, 80, or sometimes 90% easily.
Wow.
Just because they feel so relieved. And when you are confident and relaxed yourself, it is easier for you to learn new skills. To learn new skills, that's also some secret that I discovered. If you're relaxed in something that, you know, might feel very scary or difficult or complicated to learn, then it's difficult for you to actually learn that skill. But if you can let those kind of walls and views and conditionings down and you can forget about them, then you learn this skill very, very quickly. Because at the end of the day, we want to convert. I mean, a business is also about cash. And yes, we want to have our tribe. We want, you know, we have our mission. We want to help people. But we need that lifeline too. Otherwise, a new fear comes up, and that's the lack of money. But this is really why I can, you know, honestly say this is what makes selling easy. Does it feel easy for you? With
you know, well, I'm an educator. You know, I've worked in the academic space rolled out my programs to, you know, like in 10,000 schools, right? So I'm used to that space and the corporate environment. I came in educating. I'm a technologist as well, systems engineer. So I never considered myself a salesperson. I was always,
no.
Even when I went on a call with a salesperson, they would turn to me and say, you know, Ronnie's going to explain how it works. So I was always, I'm just educating them on the process. Here's how our product works. Here's the solution. And I worked for Microsoft, and here's the Microsoft solution that we were rolling out for them, or offering to roll out for them. So that education piece was, I loved, I was passionate about teaching. So it came out very easy, and I didn't feel like I was, there was no agenda. There was no selling. You know, I didn't feel like I was selling them. I was just teaching them. So it naturally came out, but not everyone looks at sales that way, you know, and I hear that all the time. I'm an entrepreneur, but I hate selling. And I'm like,
oh yeah. And that's difficult. I mean, you cannot really sell if you believe that selling is a bad or yucky thing to do. Right.
Right.
That's difficult. That's difficult. So, and maybe I can give some other views on what selling really is. Is that a good idea, perhaps?
Yeah. So what is selling?
Most, coaches and consultants think, oh, sales is a bad thing. It's something that I do to someone. It is. And I totally get why, because we all have been conditioned with bad experiences in sales. I mean, so there is some natural resistance even when we mention the word sales, and I get that. But, you know, for us as change agents and heart-centered entrepreneurs, for me it's guiding people through their resistance to change. And then see it as an act of self-love to put an amount of money in there. So even tell yourself, I love myself enough to have this fair exchange of good energy, which is my service, and money. So see sales as being of service. Then you can come from a positive vibration to create a positive and meaningful experience, because that is what a sales conversation actually can be, a positive and meaningful experience, rather than a conversation that you want to get over with. So if you come from that positive vibration, you can really explore if you can fill in, this is something else, a fundamental need for someone else. And then you can feel, you know, the passion coming up again, because that's what we coaches and consultants love to do. So, I really see it as an act of self-love to sell, and I see it as an act of serving. And that's different than that it's something bad or yucky to do. So, you know, starting off, sales is... We talked about starting up a sales conversation, but actually you have to start, you know, with your mindset. Your mindset always comes first. We know that, but it's true. It's true.
It's funny, you know, the sales process, right? You talked about the bad sales experience, and often people turn to, you know, I don't want to be a used car salesman is the, the common
That's
term.
That's the metaphor we all know, yeah.
Right? And the fact is that if you don't sell, if you're not earning money with a valuable service you're providing, one, you're not going to be able to continue. And I've seen this where people lowball their services and don't go out and sell their service, almost give it away because they feel guilty. In return, all they're doing is a disservice to the client, because the disservice is, one, you're not going to have enough money to support your business on an ongoing basis to where you can continue to support them. And you're not going to reach as much people if your business doesn't grow to where you can help more people. And coaches and consultants, you know, we truly believe, and there's not, it's very rare for me to come across a coach or consultant that isn't passionate about what they do. And I always tell them, you need to go big, you need to go fast, because there's a lot of people that need your help, and there's a lot of people that need your help now, like yesterday.
Exactly.
You know, and so you're doing them a disservice by not being able to support your business, you know, and you're, as long as you're charging a fair rate for your services, at least for you, you know, you, but therein lies the problem, is it seems like a number of coaches and consultants don't value their own service enough. You know, it's, and I,
oh, yeah.
That's the paradox I find. You know, they know it's so useful, they know that people need their help, but then when you ask them, well, quantify what your services are worth, they're like, oh, I don't know. And then that affects the confidence level while going out there. They undervalue themselves. How do you really get a coach or consultant to value themselves higher? Because naturally we tend to devalue ourselves.
Oh, we do. Oh, yes, yes.
Be humble, right? We want to be humble. How do you get someone to?
Yeah, it. We think it's humble. We think it's humble, but it's. I totally agree. It's such a disservice not to sell, and it's even a disservice not to sell at a good rate, at good prices, because if you want your client to really transform, you know, then this client needs to give his or her commitment. So there needs to be some skin in the game to really step into to the transformation that you offer. So if you are undervaluing yourself, you're also devaluing your client. Like, and my mindset piece on this is actually, you know, before I enter a sales conversation, this is another mindset mantra of mine. It's called, I'm a star, you're a star. You know, from the first minute a prospective client walks into my studio, or when I have a prospective client on the phone, the first thing I believe in is, dear Mr. Mrs. Prospect, you are a star. I see the fullest potential. But at the same time, I'm a star too. Like, I'm the best one at this moment, probably, to help you. That's the reason why we connect. So first, see each other as a star, because that's really where it starts off. Like, okay, what is the best thing that we can pull off if we would be working together? So you really need to create multiple visions of all your clients. Like, okay, how far can I bring them? How far can I bring them? That's one piece. Mm-hmm. The second piece of really getting a clear view on your value, because it is difficult to really see what your value is, right? And in what I teach my client, I actually have a picture of what value looks like. So I'm a logical person too, because I really wanted to pinpoint, okay, everyone's talking about value and expressing your value, but what it really comes down to is actually drawing a line from the problem a client has to the other side, the biggest possibility that this client can step into. And not only the problem this client has, but what is the impact of the problem for the client right now. So what's the damage to my client? What's the loss to my client if my client doesn't do anything about it now? And often we can find a number or an amount. Let's say you're a health coach and you have a client who has a problem, has an energy problem. So one thing that could come to the surface is, how many hours a day, dear Mr. or Mrs. Prospect, do you lose energy, and what does that mean to your life, for your income, for your business, whatever? So what is the impact of a problem for your client? And see if you can pull out any kind of number. That's where, you know, expressing your value starts. So dig into the problem and see if you can find a number that reflects the impact of the problem your client currently has. And then you draw a big bow to the other side, like, okay, what if we would be working together? Where does my client end up if we really would be stars? So how many hours would this client with this health issue save a day in energy, time, income, whatever, if the both of you would be working together? And when you can see the difference and you actually put it down on paper, then you can get a clear and even logical sense of the value that you are providing.
Yes.
I'm really digging in here, so
no,
I hope you can follow my picture here.
I fully understand. It's funny, when I deal with clients, I often have to help them, even before we help them, I help them to build their program or launch their program. I end up spending, you know, half the time convincing them how valuable their own service is. And so I go through the same exercise you just mentioned, and that's clear for everyone on this call. As Liana said, you know, you can quantify the work you've done. If you help someone to overcome their problems, not only is it overcoming that problem for that one day, right, the energy, for instance, that they gain increases their productivity, they're doing stuff, quality of life goes up, but what would it be worth if someone had another 2 hours of energy, do something for that day, and then multiply that by 365 days the year, and multiply that by the next 3-5 years, what you've done for them is so much more valuable than you think. And
exactly.
That's why I'm so passionate about helping coaches, because they have the power to impact a lot on people, to change people's lives for the better now. And they don't really pay attention. They really don't know what their true value is. And that exercise that you just mentioned is so valuable, you know, on so many levels. And it can reframe their whole direction and their enthusiasm, you know, for what they do. So I totally get it. And now I know I've experienced your work, and I know that you've been able to motivate people to buy. And just based on these techniques you've taught us now, I can see why and how it works. But do you have any advice for those people where there's people that are hesitant to buy and they raise concerns like, well, I'm not sure I want to think about it. I really want to think about it first, or I don't have the money right now. You know, how did people, because those are the questions that the coaches are scared of, you know,
yeah.
And they back off, and then it lowers their confidence. And it's such a big tension before you even do the call or meet with a person, you already think about those questions. How do you deal with those kind of objections even before you get there in your mind, so your confidence doesn't drop?
Well, this is really, no, handling objections and concerns is a conversation in itself, but it's something we dread the most. We fear even getting them. But this is how I deal with objections. I teach my clients that they need to be able to deal with, I call them concerns, by the way, deal with objections or concerns before you even have the call. During your dialogue, even before you make any offer, but also if any objections are raised after you have made the offer. We often think that objections only can come up after you have presented your offer or mentioned the price, but that's not true. A client already has objections before you even speak. So there are three areas in which you can already do something to actually lower the sales resistance. So be aware that there's more than one area that you can handle objections. Now, the first thing about getting objections or concerns, we fear them, we want to avoid them, you know, if we can. my client, the thing they ask me the most is that, okay, what do I need to say when my client says, I don't have the money or whatever? They just want a script so that they can avoid the whole objection.
Right.
But actually you need to do something very different. Actually, we should be very happy that there are concerns. It means this client is really, really interested. And it just means something like this client thinking, okay, you dear expert coach, consultant, I'm almost there. I just need some more encouragement, information, or perhaps a little mind shift to say yes. So here's the thing. I highly recommend you encourage your prospect to give objections. It's like spreading the cards again, you know? Let's put it all on the table. And once you encourage your client, you know, to give objections, even when the first one comes up, like even confirm, oh yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a really good point. And I can imagine you have that question. Really encourage the client to lay it all out. Because often the client, well, in my case, when you have this transparent and relaxed relationship, the client will talk himself out of his own objection even. So that's something that also can happen when you have an open and transparent dialogue. So the first thing that I teach my client is to encourage objections. And once you know what to do with every objection that you get, you don't feel this fear anymore. The second step you can start with right away is first explore your own mindset on objections. Like, this is also an eye-opener for many people. First ask yourself, what objections do you often have when you consider investing in something? So what is often something that you hear yourself say or think when you are really considering investing or buying something? And it might be something like, I don't have the money, right?
Right.
So now suppose you are selling a program to a prospective client, and this client says, well, it looks nice, but I don't have the money right now. Well, I can almost predict what happens because you cannot handle that situation at all. This is the thing. If you come across an objection that you believe and even act upon yourself, that's very difficult to handle because it's fine. You think it's fine. So you will not be able to lead your client through that piece of resistance that is still up there. So first explore what is the way that you buy. Let's say you're a researcher and you want to, you know, dig into every option that is out there. And then you want to sell a program yourself and your prospective client says, well, I need to think about it. I need to consider other options too. Then again, I can predict what's going to happen. You think that's fine. It's difficult for you to handle that objection because you believe that yourself. You even act upon that yourself.
Right.
So, and often you get the objections that you already have in your head. This mirroring thing is really, really amazing. So we first have to explore, okay, what kind of buyer am I?
Right.
Isn't that amazing? And when I teach my clients, okay, so I have to explore what kind of buyer I am, and then they immediately see the situations that they come across in their sales conversation, and oh, now I know why my clients always tell me that they need to think about it. So that's where it starts in the first place. So I would say encourage your client to give the objections, explore your own mindset, and of course, there needs to be, there is a skill in how to handle objections, but this is where it starts in the first place.
Well, those
Does
are
that
really
make
great.
Sense, Ronnie?
I love it. I love it. Those are really solid tips that I'll be using for myself. And again, that's the biggest fear, right, is failure. Biggest fear, period. So when you can look
Yes.
at what you see as failure, and you can see what, you know, and you can really truly look at yourself and look at what you would think about your product or service you're selling, and feel good about why you're doing. Again, that's where the we talked about making sure you truly understand the value of what you're doing or your solutions, your product, your services. It all goes hand in hand in just feeling more confident. And when you're more confident, it's everything feels easier. And the thing is that we I guess that's this whole conversation is the lack of confidence that people have. And everything you talked about is ways to build up your confidence, which ultimately makes it selling easy. It just makes it so much easier.
Exactly.
Now, how do our listeners, you've just given so much great content here, how do they get more from you? Because I know, of course, you're in the Netherlands, but you do your training online. Do you have a way that you can get maybe some free information first to really understand what you do and some of the, do you have videos or training that's available to them?
I certainly have some free resources to really, you know, get some solid steps into your own conversion with confidence, because I think it's a good idea that people get more insights and even some actual steps that they can implement immediately so that they can feel this relief first and then take it from there, right?
Right.
So I have a free video training up, and they can find that on www.easy-influence.com/tsunami. And I will spell tsunami. That is TSUNAMI. easy-influence.com/tsunami.
Outstanding.
And there's a free training up there, and for people who need more, there's also, they can get their hands on the complete formula. But first, take those steps and, you know, feel that relief that you can do it too, because that's the most important thing right now for many coaches and consultants.